We have a special guest speaker today. Not really. He is special, but he's not a guest. But he's my co-worker here, my brother. And I love him and appreciate him so much. Brother Leroy, come on. Preach for us. God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you today. I pray that you anoint Brother Leroy. Give him the words that you want us to hear today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's still morning.
Oh, no.
Y'all do that. And all this time, God is good. With great anticipation have I wanted to speak on the subject that I'm going to talk about this morning. And Bob will recognize that. I know with anticipation he's wanted to as well. And we started this year saying, boy, something's going to change. Something is happening. And I was ready to go then, but the Lord said, no, not yet. There's still some work to be done. And I said, okay. How about this week, Lord? He said, oh, no, not yet. You need to address this. This needs to be straightened out. I said, okay, you know, and all that stuff wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all. Okay, Lord, how about now? And one time I started out with it, and it went a whole different direction. I wasn't listening then. And it came out to be something altogether different than what I had anticipated. I said, well, we'll preach this then. And so this week, and last week, and the week before that, I've been entertaining this subject matter. And so I've been told no so much till I was just going, well, yeah, maybe I will, maybe I won't, we'll see. And I started working on it. Said, well, I'll start working on it, and if that's what you want, then I'll. So I was pretty much just resolved to whatever it is, Lord, that you want. But it turned out that this is the week for us to talk about the authority of the believer. We just don't realize just how much authority we have as Christians in this earth today. Many times we talk about what the devil does and the power of the devil, and he's glad to hear us talk like that because he knows that he doesn't have any power as far as we're concerned. And his benefit is that we didn't know it. And we continue to give in and to allow him. But I think today we realize that Satan has been defeated.
Amen.
We have preached it enough. We've discussed it enough. We've confronted enough. The Lord said, they know now. Now let's move on. And we're going to move into an area today that I hope that we'll grasp, get a copy of this message, if it works. Amen.
Amen.
And study it. And pray for me that I can speak what it is that he's given me. And pray for each other that you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Not just Leroy, but the Spirit of God. Christians possess typically two manifestations of power. One is dunamis. That's a residential power. That's a power that exists on the inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. The other power is exousia. Exousia is the power that is the authority that you have. It is jurisdictional authority. You have jurisdictional authority. Jesus gave us jurisdictional authority. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus had sent out 70 to go to the places and villages that he had planned to go to, and he sent them out in groups of two. That means he sent out 35 groups at one time to go and preach the gospel. He said, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. 35 groups he sent out. That means that was a powerful evangelistic campaign that Jesus launched there in Luke 10. We kind of read over and say, oh, good, 35. I mean, we just say, see the 70. But that's 35 different villages and towns that these people hit. And they came back and say, Master, and they were rejoicing. He said, even the devils are subject to us. It's your name. And he says, well, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw him fall from heaven. And nothing, he said, by any means shall harm you. Howbeit, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We see several mentions of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is not Walt Disney. This is not a wish. This is a fact. It is a fact of Scripture. And if you have trouble believing that scripture is fact, then go and read some archaeological proofs of Bible facts. And you find that those prophecies, things that were done, have been fulfilled, many fulfilled. There's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now it's up to God when he sends him back. Matthew 12:28 says, but if Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Matthew 19:24, just different references. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. One disciple says, well, who then can be saved? And he said, well, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. But with God, he said, all things are possible. Matthew 21:31, he says, whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I like that, because I would have fit in one of those categories. I like that. Matthew 21:43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. That be you and me. That's us. Mark 1:14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You believe the gospel this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mark 4:11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Unto you this morning is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Mark 4:26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. And in Mark 4:30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom? And with what compassion shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. It's a parable. But whereunto shall we liken this great kingdom of God? Mark 9:1 says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And they saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a powerful vision that was. They saw several things on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus transfigured, and his clothing were whiter, they said, than any white. They saw him standing there talking to Elijah and Moses. And then Peter tried to say something intelligent, I guess, and say, it's good that we be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And then they saw a cloud come and overshadow them all. And then they heard a voice say, this is my beloved son, hear him. That's a message right there to you. Hear what Jesus is saying to you. Authority is the official legal right to act. It's an official legal act. Right to act. And one thing I want you to notice about authority is authority comes down from above. I'm under Bob's authority. Bob is under God's authority, under the authority of Jesus Christ. Of course, I'm under Jesus Christ, but here I'm under Bob's authority. Bob, me, Bob, Jesus, as far as working this church goes. And I love that, because there's a benefit in placing yourself and remaining under authority. You must be under authority if you're going to have authority. What does that mean? If somebody just walk in the street and start giving answers, y'all going to try to rush him out this door as quickly as you can. You're going to come to me or Bob and say, do you know this guy? Do you know this person? You're going to come to the authority. You're going to ask. But if I come and say, I need you to go do this and such, you're going to probably go and do it. If I say, we don't want to say it like that, you're going to probably not say it. Not that I'm so powerful. But you're going to recognize the authority that I have here, because my authority comes down from the pastor. And then when he says something, you'll recognize the authority that he has, because his authority comes down from Jesus. And then Jesus' authority comes from the Father, and it comes from above. So that's one thing about authority. You have to remember that it's important that you allow yourself to be under authority. You must be. If you're going to ever be over, you must be under. Under authority. That's what backs the authority up. It's the authority that you are under. 1 John 4:17 says concerning Jesus and us, as he is, so are we in this world. That identifies us with him. That's called the doctrine of identification. I'm going slow, aren't I? It's called the doctrine of identification, which is this. He died, you died with him. Say amen.
Amen.
When he rose, you rose with him.
Amen.
As we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Jesus' victory is your victory.
Amen.
Our authority comes from Jesus.
Amen.
We're identified with him. As he is, so are we in this world. Just as he is, say that, as he is,
as he is.
So are we,
so are we.
In this world.
In this world.
Say, as he is.
So,
y'all need to follow. Y'all need to follow the authority here now. Y'all running ahead of me. As he is, so am I in this world. That's better, isn't it? Now, y'all learn to follow this now, okay? It's important. Let's slow it down. Matthew 28:8, Jesus said, all authority. When he said all power, he said all authority. That's what the word was. Authority. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, he said. But if you look up that word he used for power, that word is authority. All authority, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All. And you are under who? Jesus. Then he said, go ye in my name. Remember, they said, Master, this is so exciting. Even the devils are subject unto us at your name. They recognized the power and authority in the name of Jesus. He sent them out in his name. If a policeman comes to the door and says, open up in the name of the law. Now, if a crazy person says, open this door. You say, well, who is it? It's Joe Smith. Who is Joe Smith? But if you say, open up in the name of the law, and they show credentials, you're going looking for your key. Yes, yes, officer. Look at C. Bill talking about telling him to get a warrant. Yeah, okay. Well, he didn't say let me in. He said open up in the name of the law. Well, let's do it like this then, since Bill, since you're so swift over there. What if you're driving down the street and a policeman, a fully dressed in his regalia, stands out in the middle of the street and says, stop. What are you going to do, Bill? And we're going to visit you, brother. But y'all know what I'm saying, right? Y'all know what I'm saying. I know. Y'all know. We're just having a little fun. I'm going to open the door. Now, if he wants to push in, I need to know what's... Okay, you know, I need to know what's wrong. Why are you doing this? Now, if they think there's some legal activity illegal, they're going to come with a greater authority, which they'll get from the judge. They'll come. And now they can kick your door in. They could knock once. Boom, boom, boom. Open it up. Boom, 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 boom. Come up. Bam. They're in. And they'll hand that to you and let you look at it while they take over in your house. That's a matter of authority. You remember the centurion said to Jesus when he had a servant that he needed healed. He said, I have men under authority. I have men under me, he said. I understand this. That was the centurion's statement to Jesus, showing that he understood that Jesus himself was under authority. That's what the statement was. That's why Jesus marveled when he said, I have not seen such faith, no, not in Israel. This man recognizes what's going on here. This man say, I also have men under me. And I say, go, and they go and do this, and he does it. And so because of that, the man received his request from Jesus. You cannot have authority until you are under authority. And the authority must be over you. Let this sink in. Hey, you know what else? Authority is linked to obedience. That's why we always say, obey God, obey the word. Such and such and such. What does the word say? What does the word say? The authority is linked to obedience. You don't believe me? When Adam disobeyed, he forfeited his authority. He forfeited the dominion that God gave him in Genesis 1:26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every creeping thing upon the earth. Let them have dominion. This is all in Adam's authority. But Adam, this is what I'm telling you. You can have everything but that tree. Don't eat it. Because if you do, you will die. Adam disobeyed. Adam died to God. Satan took the authority from Adam. He became Satan, the archenemy of you and me and of God. So when you move in rebellion, remember that authority is linked to obedience. Until you learn the restraint of the Spirit, you will never, ever know the power of the Spirit. The restraint of the Spirit. The Bible says even of Jesus, when he was baptized, that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Now, if he was not under authority, and if he was not obedient, I don't know that I want to go into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. I want to go in the desert somewhere and pray and fast and wait on God to show me which way to go. But the Spirit of God said, guess what? Into the wilderness. Temptation by Satan. So he was led of that. And he went. He went in that way. But here's the good news about that. When he came out, the Bible says he came out in the power of the Spirit. He went in obedience. He came out in the power of the Spirit. And boy, his ministry hit and took off. We're still benefiting from that act of obedience in Jesus. Jesus was under authority. It's hard to imagine Jesus being under authority, but he was. He's our example of authority. He was subject to the Father. He was subject to the Holy Spirit. And he was subject to the Scriptures. He was. What does the Scripture say? He says. What does this say? He says. He was subject. When he was tempted, he went to the Scriptures to say, it is written. This is what will have effect on me. Not what you're saying, but it is written that the Bible says this about me. He was subject to that authority. He was even subject to his parents, for the Bible says that he went and was subject to his parents after they came back and found him. And he subjected himself to his parents. He was subject to government. He told his disciple, go down and catch a fish, and the first one you pull up, you'll find money in his mouth. Go and pay your taxes for me and for thee. He paid taxes. He was subject to the government. If he was subject to authority, who are we to say that nobody's going to tell me what to do? If Jesus himself was subject to authority, who am I to say, no, no one's going to tell me what to do? Here's a few things about authority. Authority, kingdom authority, was gloriously or graciously given by Adam. It was bestowed upon him in Genesis 1:26. Let him have dominion over all of the works of my hand, over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the sea. He was, had authority over birds and fish and every creeping thing. It was gloriously given. But then the authority or dominion was legally lost. Because in Genesis 3, we find that the serpent, that means the shining one, comes on the scene. Lucifer means light bearer. He was the son of the morning. Became Satan, the father of the night. And he now works in the area of man's blindness. He works in the area of our ignorance to godly things. He works in an area where we do not subject ourselves to the authority and power of God. He works in those areas. If you don't lend your mind to what God says, and if you don't lend your mind to what God directs, then your mind is going to be lent to you and your best thoughts, or your mind then will be subject to other influences besides that. If you don't accept the truth, you will receive a lie. So, he now works in the area of our blindness. He's worked in so much of my blindness, like a blind spot when you're driving, you know? You ever hit a blind spot, and all of a sudden you hear a horn blowing? I mean, it's one of those frantic horns. Wah, bop, bop, bop. Well, where did he come from? He wasn't there just a while ago. Yes, he was. There's a blind spot. And then sometimes he wasn't there, but he's driving so fast. When you looked, he wasn't there. Then when you start changing lanes, he's coming up on you and blowing as though you made the error. Well, either way, you still got trouble, see. There's still somewhat of a blind spot. You just didn't see him coming. He was out of your vision. Romans 6:16 says this, whom ye yield yourself servants to, his servants ye are. And you got to understand this about the Scripture. Whoever you listen to or whoever you allow to tell you what to do, you're under the control of that thing for that time. And so, his servant or whose slave ye are. Ephesians 2:20 talks about the course of this world. It talks about the prince of the power of the air. It talks about the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So disobedience is very dangerous to move in, because you subject yourself to the prince of the power of the air. You subject yourself to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. No, you won't be unsaved, but you'll be a tool in the hand of the one that you listen to. Once saved, thank God you're saved. But why would you want to spend your life working for the devil and you belong to God? Because you don't like what God said about tithing. I didn't like it for a long time. Stay broke all the time. I should have been tithing, you know. Whatever. I do the best I can. First, I determine this is what it's going to go. This is how I'm going to go. I'm going to start. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me the fortitude. Because this one thing is standing in between me and you and fellowship with my other brothers and sisters in Christ. So I started tithing, even though it wasn't a tenth. And I started calling it a tithe. I said, we're going to increase it. Lord, with your help and strength, we're going to increase it. And increase it, and increase it, and continue to increase it. Or because you don't like what he says about any number of things, and you find yourself in an area of disobedience. It's a very dangerous thing. We're hitting upon some matters here that is time for us to hit. It's time for us to hear. You see all of the empty seats? Guess what? This message is for you. It's for the ones that came.